Amen. Thank you, David. Good morning, everybody. You know, I liked how he said, delivered us from last year. You know, every day, you know, God is a shield around us. Scripture tells us that in Psalms. And every day, you know, especially for us as believers, there's very likely many spiritual attacks that Satan throws our way that we never even see, because God just knows it'd be too much, and he shields us from them. You know, he shields those fiery darts, and of course he does allow things to go through to build us in our character, to teach us to trust in him more. But I think there's a lot of things that God delivered each of us from in 2019 that we're not even aware about. I mean, perhaps a car accident. I don't know if this has ever happened to you guys. There's been times I've been driving, and then maybe a light turns red, and then I decide to take a different route than I normally would, or something happens where, like, I just feel prompted, like, oh, let's go this way instead, or maybe I don't quite make a light, and then have to sit there, and I'm like, oh. But you know what I've started thinking now is, like, you know what, God might be saving me from a car accident that I could have been in, or, you know, we don't know, you know, or like, oh man, I'm late getting out the door, spilled this, have to clean it up. It's like, how are we to know that an angel didn't come along and just whoop, spill that little coffee and then delay you a little bit to prevent you something worse from happening? Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing to think about, but how God is a shield around us. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about this morning. For those of you who don't know, my name's Paul Letvin, and one of two pastors here at Submerged Church, and just also want to give you a very warm welcome on this cold winter day. And if anybody likes to watch Hutch Johnson, like my wife and I do on KVLY, like, there's going to be a couple polar blasts that we're going to see, you know, coming. So we've seen a couple, and there's another one coming this week. I don't know if you guys looked, but I think we've got at least a three-day string where it's not going to get above zero. So that'll be fun. Anyway, recently I've spoken on a few foundational spiritual formation practices, such as the daily office and Sabbath. If you weren't here, I think we got at least two out of those three. I did a two-part series on Sabbath and one on daily office. We'd encourage you to check out those messages, or if you missed it, would love to talk to you more about it. But they're spiritual formation practices. Sometimes people call them, you know, spiritual disciplines or things like that. But they help us to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't save us, but they help us to grow. Just like you spending time with someone on a date doesn't mean that you're married to them, but you have to spend time with people to build that relationship. So the day I decided to marry my wife, yeah, we stood up in front of everybody, you know, 300 plus people, we made our vows, and then after that, I can just go do whatever I want, right? No, you know, if I don't spend time talking to my wife, visiting with her, praying with her, dating her, things like that, we're not going to have much of a relationship. Same thing with Jesus. You know, we can pray to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and be like, all right, thanks, Jesus, for saving me, and then never do anything. Well, you're not going to grow in your relationship. So these things that we do, they don't bring salvation, but they grow us in our walk with the Lord. Jesus wants to spend time with us. He wants us to become everything that we can be to help God build his kingdom. And he's chosen us, these flawed, sinful human beings, to carry out his will in building his kingdom here on earth. Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes I think, God, why don't you just send like this army of angels to go reveal themselves, you know, to this group of people and this group of people and say, hey, Jesus is Lord. And, you know, these big shining angels, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord. All, you know, like, you know, but instead he wants to use us, these broken human beings. It's just amazing. But we have to make ourselves available. We need to abide in Jesus. We need to be connected to the vine, as Jesus said over and over. So, along with daily office and Sabbath, another very important spiritual formation practice that I will discuss today is to simply eat our daily bread by reading our Bibles. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to eat our daily bread. So I'm just going to pray one more time. Lord would speak to us. Father, we just thank you for this time we can be together. We thank you for another day. We thank you for a new year. Lord, this is a great time to be evaluating our lives, reevaluating, reviewing what are some things in 2019 that went well? What are some things that could use some improvement? What are some steps that we can take in growing in our relationship with you, Lord, growing in our marriages, growing in parenting, growing in our relationships with people at work, having better health? It's a good time to reflect, Lord. So I pray that you would make us wise. We would take just a couple new steps in the right direction, goals that we can sustain, that are attainable, that will help us to grow in the way that you want us to. Lord, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear today. Pray you'd give us open minds. Pray you'd give us soft hearts. Pray that we'd hear what the Spirit wants to tell us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the big idea today, if there's anything that you remember at all, this would be it. Eat your bread daily. Eat your bread daily. So that's the one thing. And some of you might be sitting here, well, Pastor, we don't have to read our Bible every day, do we? We're going to get to that. All right, let's talk about bread. Who likes bread? Anybody like bread? Gluten intolerant people? Well, I've got a story. Anybody, do we have any gluten intolerant people here? Or anybody? Perhaps a little bit. So my mom and dad met this couple where the wife or the husband, Rachel? The wife, yeah. So where the wife was gluten intolerant, couldn't eat bread. Well, then she decided to start trying organic bread that hadn't been treated by Roundup, etc., other things. And guess what? No problem. She ate bread in its natural form, and she was able to eat it. So something some of you might want to check out if you've ever had any kind of digestion problems with eating bread. You know, to me, it's kind of interesting how bread has been around for so long, a staple in our diets, right? And then today, all of a sudden, we're developing all these issues. It's interesting. So bread, let's talk about it. Bread in all its various forms. Let's get that picture up. There we go. Bread in all its various forms is the most widely consumed food in the world. Not only is it an important source of carbohydrates, it's also portable and compact, which helps to explain why it has been an integral part of our diet for thousands of years. Of course, carbohydrates, and there's a little, for you science buffs around here, there's a diagram of what that looks like, carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are an important part of our diet as they provide us with energy. Our bread contains various B vitamins, including thiamine, which is vitamin B1, niacin, which is vitamin B3, which are essential for releasing energy from food, okay? So we need energy to function, right? So just as we need bread or some carbohydrate food, okay, for physical energy, we need that. We need Jesus for spiritual energy. We need him. But how do we get this energy from Jesus? By spending time with him, right? And growing our relationship with him. How do we do that? By developing spiritual formation practices. Like for today's focused example, reading our Bibles. So we've talked about the daily office, sitting and being still before the Lord, listening for his voice. We've talked about Sabbath, taking that day of rest once a week that God commanded in the longest commandment of the Ten Commandments, okay? Hopefully I'll be talking about more, but fasting, that's another spiritual formation practice, one that I need to grow in. In fact, that's one of my goals for this year. I want to learn to fast more, to hear God's voice. That's a spiritual formation practice. Worship, gathering together here. Serving. There's so many things that we do to worship Jesus, to spend time with him, to grow. But today, we're going to focus on eating our bread daily, eating our daily bread, which is reading our Bibles. In today's scripture reading, Jesus makes it clear that we cannot live by bread alone. So next slide should be Matthew 4:4 here. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need to live by the word of God. Now, this is interesting. So this was after Jesus had faced the temptation from the devil to turn stones into bread, okay? So he faced that temptation. In fact, all three times that Jesus is tempted, he responds with, "It is written." It is written. It is written. That's how Jesus responds. So this is another great reminder, and actually next week I'm planning on going through those three temptations that Jesus faced in greater detail. They're temptations that all of us face. We'll get into that next week. At least that's the plan. So this is another great reminder and reason for us to know the Word of God inside out. We need to know it inside out, from the depths of our hearts to the tips of our tongues. We must know it. It helps us to fight off temptations from our flesh, the devil, and the world when we know God's Word inside and out. We need to live, as Jesus said, we need to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So let's form the connection between Jesus, bread, and the Word. So let's look at this. Okay, so in John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the, what? Bread of life. Jesus says this. So, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Okay, so if this is true, Jesus is the bread of life. Let's take a look here. So Jesus, A, equals bread, B. Okay? Are we paying attention here, class? Okay, so you might want to write that down. So Jesus A equals bread B. There will be a test at the end. So please pay attention. It says so in John 6:35. All right? Okay, so we got that established. Jesus A equals bread B. Now, next verse. In John 1:1, it says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, we know that Jesus was with God and is God. So John is referencing Jesus right here in this verse. So that means Jesus is also the Word, our Bibles. Okay, so we go back to the mathematical progression here. So Jesus A also equals Word, C. Okay, so we're going to give that letter C. So Jesus equals the Word, C, John 1:1. Okay. If A equals B and A equals C, then B equals C, right? Is everyone following me here? Okay, this is not advanced calculus. This is basic algebra. Thank you. It's like, what math? It's not geometry. Anyway, so if A equals B and A equals C, then B equals C. So next slide, if Jesus equals bread and Jesus equals Word, and the bread equals Word. So therefore, my daily bread is the Word, my Bible, who is really Jesus. Okay? That's our daily bread. Jesus is the Word. Okay? So there should be another progression there. Therefore, okay, my daily bread is the Word, my Bible, who is really Jesus. So when we pick up our Bible, when we open it, you are experiencing Jesus. He is the Word. He's the Word. And some people say, well, Pastor, isn't Jesus just in the New Testament? The Old Testament screams of Jesus. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, and you're willing to put the time into study. Some of you might remember, I gave that one example where, do you remember when Moses went on the mountaintop? Every time he held his staff in the air, the Israelites were winning against the Amalekites. Joshua was down leading the Amalekites. If he lowered his arms, they start failing, okay? So as long as he had his arms up, he got so tired, they sat him on a stone, and they had Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. And there's that staff going across. So anybody down in this valley, and it says that they fought until evening as the sun was setting. So anybody that would have looked up on that mountainside and saw the sun setting there, and seeing those three figures with one person holding a staff like this, you know what that would have looked like? That would have looked like Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with the other two thieves with the wood there. A foreshadowing that one day Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, and he would be the bridge between heaven and earth, and he would be the one who would conquer sin, our flesh, which was the Amalekites, this wicked, wicked nation that the Israelites were fighting. So that's just one little example from Scripture that points to Jesus. The tabernacle set up in the shape of a cross. Okay, I mean, we could go on and on. So Jesus is all throughout the Word. And Jesus even taught that. He taught at the synagogues. This prophecy from Isaiah, yeah, that was about me. This prophecy from Psalms, yeah, that was about me. He taught in the synagogues about that. Anyway, so here's a question for all of us before we go on here. How many of us here would go a day without eating? Maybe a day. That's not too bad, right? How about a week? How many of us here would go a week without eating anything? How many of us would go a month? Okay, we might think to ourselves, I just don't have time to eat today. I'm just too busy. We'll have to wait till tomorrow. Okay, and then the same thing happens the next day and the next. Then we might think, well, at the end of the week when I have a day off, I'll make up for all the days I missed eating this week, and I'll eat all 21 meals at once. Has anyone ever thought that before? Yep, I missed all my meals throughout the whole week. I'm just going to sit down and eat all 21 at the same time. Okay? Sadly, some of you guys are getting the reference here. Sadly, this is how some of us treat the Word of God, our Bibles, our spiritual daily bread. It doesn't make sense, does it, to just skip reading our Bible for 6 days, and then we just pack in, 5 hours of Bible reading in one day. It doesn't make sense. We would never do that with food. If we did with food what some of us do with reading our Bibles, we would be completely physically drained, fatigued, and probably even bedridden with sickness, starving to death. If we did with food what we did with our Bibles. You know that? What is even more sad is that some of us are spiritually bedridden with sickness, starving spiritually, because of our failure to be eating our spiritual food, reading our Bibles, abiding in Jesus. Now, Christians, don't get me wrong here. I am not here to give a guilt trip. I'm not here to judge anybody. This is to wake us up. If we name the name of Christ, we should be spending time with him. If I claim that I'm married to my wife, hey, that's my wife, Haley. But I only talk to her for a half hour on Sundays. That's it. Not much of a husband, right? If we claim to have a relationship, oh, Jesus is my Savior. He saved me from my sins. Well, we need to have a relationship with him. We need to spend time with him. And one of the best ways to do that is reading our Bibles, spending time reading our Bibles. Okay, so to get the point across even further here, let's talk about how to eat bread. Does anybody know how to eat bread around here? How can I get the Bible to truly become my daily bread? Let's talk about how we just eat regular bread. Oh, there happens to be some bread over here. How convenient. Wrapped in plastic so it doesn't get contaminated with germs beforehand. Wasn't planning on that. The plate's bigger than the... All right, so here we have some bread, okay? Ta-da, everybody see that? Okay, so first step in eating bread. Are we paying attention, class? All right, so the first step to eat, this is important. The first step to eat bread is we have to pick it up, okay? So I'm gonna grab the bread and pick it up. Okay, so that's the first step, right? Whew, passed. Okay, second step is you look at it, okay? You can't just pick it up and start eating. You're going to miss your face, and, it's just going to get all over the place. You'll get crumbs on the floor. We don't want that. Okay, so you pick it up, and then you look at it, and you're like, okay, how am I going to attack this bread? Okay, and you look at it. Okay, this is going to be kind of hard over here. This is already broken. This will be a little easier, so I think I'm going to... Okay, so you get the idea. So you have to look at it. You analyze it. Okay, so you pick it up. You look at it. And then you have to take a bite, right? You can't just hold it and look at it and be like, wow, that was a great meal. Can't wait till tomorrow. Right? Okay, so you pick it up. You look at it. And you take a bite. Okay, so I took the bite. Now, it's in my mouth, okay? So, now what? That's all you do, right?
You just look at it, you take a bite, and that's it. No. So step four, kids, don't do this at home. Good thing they're all in Sunday school today. Dad. Okay, so you pick it up, you look at it, you take a bite, and then you chew it.
Chewing takes time. It takes some time. What is it? You're supposed to chew 20 times every time you take a bite of food, right? So taking a bite, that's the easy part. Then you have to sit there and chew it. If you swallow it too early, you're going to choke. That happens to me a lot. Just ask my wife. Especially when we're eating like sticky rice or something like that, take a swallow, I'm like, ah! One time we had Deacon Don over, and oh boy, I was glad to find out there's someone in the world that doesn't that I'm not the only person with this choking problem, like small esophagus or something. Anyway, okay, so we're still chewing. No, and I'm making a point here, because as you guys, you're sitting here like, my goodness, stop talking and just chew the bread so we can move on. Okay, but it takes time to chew, right? And we're going to get to that. Okay, so I'm done chewing, and then you have to swallow. Okay, so now I swallowed it. All right? So really, you're not going to get the most out of the bread unless you do all five of these things. You have to pick it up. You have to look at it. You have to take a bite. You have to chew it, and then you have to swallow. You could do all first four steps, but then if you never swallow it, you're still not going to get those nutrients that you need, right? Guess what? How to eat your Bible? It's the same thing, just labeled differently. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to meditate on it. That's the chewing part. That takes time to chew on the Word of God, to meditate on it. And then lastly, you have to obey it. If you do those first four things, oh, we should have a new list of five. If you don't do those first four things, if you do the first four things and you don't do the fifth step, it's pointless. You just wasted your time. Well, and then you get called a hypocrite, because then you've read the Bible, you've studied it, you've memorized it, you can spout it out, you've meditated on it, but if you're not obeying it, you're a fool. You're a fool. And of course, we sin, we have our flesh, we make mistakes, and that's the beauty of God's grace, isn't it? That he gives us second chances, he gives us third chances. We've made the same mistake over and over, but we need to keep repenting of that and working towards obedience. All right, so let's take a look at each of these five in greater depth here. So, this is how to eat your Bible. So we just went through all five. If you didn't get them, we're going to go through them one by one, so here they will be one at a time again. So number one, You have to read your Bible. You have to pick it up. Okay, so that's the first part of knowing God's word. So you have to pick up your Bibles. Okay, Deuteronomy 17:19. Now, I made that reference earlier. Some of you might be thinking, Pastor, do we really need to read our Bibles every day? Well, I just made the allusion. Do you need to eat every day? You don't. But I've done fasting sometimes, and even after a day of not having three meals, I can really feel it at the end of the day. You know, I feel that weakness. Of course, doing it for spiritual purposes, but man, I just don't have the energy. So yeah, you can go a day without reading your Bible, but you're going to be spiritually weak. And now I'm going to share a bunch of these verses would certainly support the idea that, hey, maybe it is a good idea to read our Bibles every day. Starting with Deuteronomy 17:19, and this law shall be with the king, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, you know, I'm not a king, so I don't need to read the Bible, right? Well, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search things out. God wants to see, how badly do you want to get to know me? Are you willing to search me out? And we need to do it daily. Joshua 8:34-35. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. He read the word of God in front of everyone. In front of everyone. How would this apply to us? You need to read the Bible for yourself, with your spouse, with your children out loud. We read Proverbs every day out loud. A lot of times we'll have Alexa read it out loud through the Bible app, and then I can eat breakfast while the kids read. But then it's being read out loud, okay, in our house. Haley does a great job reading out loud, going through the Action Bible with the kids. And then it says the sojourners. You've got guests over for dinner? Great. Read the Bible out loud to them too. Like, hey, this is our tradition. We read Psalm before we eat dinner or whatever, okay? The Bible needs to be read, and it needs to be read out loud. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. Now, this specific verse in context is more in reference to the book of Revelation, but I think we could certainly apply that to the entire word of God if we wanted to. But there's a blessing when we read Revelation out loud, and I believe the entire word of God. When we read it out loud, there's a blessing that comes with that. Here's an interesting quote by Justin Peters. If you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak audibly, out loud, read your Bible out loud. Okay? Oh, I don't ever hear God speak to me. Well, read your Bible. Well, I really want to hear his voice. Read your Bible out loud. My mother-in-law shared that with me. Oh, that's such a great quote. Anyway, so it's good to read your Bible and to even read it out loud. I know some people that use the Psalms as a prayer method. They'll pick the day. So, for example, today is the 12th. So you'd read Psalm 12, add 30, read Psalm 42, add 30, read Psalm 72, etc. You end up reading five Psalms. You read them out loud, just praying through them. And then whichever one stuck out to you the most, you go back, read that again. Just a great way to connect with the Lord. Anyway, and that kind of leads us to our next step. So it's not enough just to read God's word. We need to study it. Okay, we need to look at it. So remember, so the bread, you pick it up, and then you have to look at it. How am I going to eat this? How wide am I going to have to open my mouth? What part can I handle right now? What part maybe will I save till the end, etc. So we need to study God's word. Acts 17, 10 through 11. I don't know if any of you have ever heard the phrase, a good Berean. I don't know if that's something that Bob just made up and taught me about growing, or if that's a wider phrase in Christendom. No, has anyone ever heard of being a good Berean? Yeah, okay, so it is a little more common. Okay, thank you. So we need, these are the good Bereans here. So the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures weekly. No, examining the scriptures daily. Daily to see if these things were so. These guys studied the scriptures every day. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Nehemiah 8:13. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, this is important, fathers here, we need to lead out spiritually, okay? And I realize there's people in different circumstances. We've got single moms, people get divorced, things like that. And I know a lot of single moms that do a great job of leading their kids, and it's wonderful. And they've got a huge, huge task in doing that. But by God's design, preferably, you know, he wants the fathers to lead. There's statistics out there, and these won't be perfect, but it's like if a mother and father don't ever go to church together, the chances that a child will grow up going to church is like less than 17%. If only the mom goes to church, it's like maybe like 30%. If only the father goes to church, it jumps way up to like 65-70%. And then if the mother and the father go to church, chances are that the kid will continue going to church is like up in the, you know, 85 to 90, you know, something like that. But it just proves to show that father's role is important, as this verse indicates. So heads of fathers' houses of all the peoples with the priests and the Levites came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. It's so important. One little tip on this step before we move to number three is to journal. So that would be a practical step. You might be asking, how can I study the Word? So I read it, but then what? How can I study it? Well, read when I read my Bible, I read it in such a way that I'm not going to finish until I find at least one verse that sticks out to me. Okay? So like when I'm reading, I am hunting for treasure. I am looking for a verse that's gonna stick out to me. And when I read actively like that, I'm like, oh man, like this morning, it was Psalm 10, I think 16 through 18, and it talks about the oppressed and the afflicted and the fatherless and how God's going to bring justice. And I posted it on our pro-life WhatsApp group that I'm a part of, and just to encourage other people, like, yeah, you know, God's going to bring justice. He's going to things like that. So that's, you know, that's what I wrote down for today. So journal. Read your Bible in such a way that you're looking for a verse that sticks out to you. And of course, it's good just to, you know, do your own personal study, things like that. But that's a practical daily way that we can study God's Word. Don't just read it. Look for it. So usually what I do is I write down a verse, and then I'll write some kind of commentary/prayer. A good method that some people use is called the SOAP method. This won't be on the screen, but it's S-O-A-P. So S, that's Scripture. So you write your Scripture down, and then O is observation. So like what stuck out to you about this piece of Scripture? What did you notice? So O is observation. A is application. How can I take what I just read and apply it into my life? You know, and start, like, maybe it's, okay, yeah, maybe you just read Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Yeah, that's something I need to apply. I need to keep pursuing speaking more gently to my wife and my children. Okay, so that's how I can apply that verse. And then the last one, P, that's for prayer. So write some little prayer. Lord, pray you'd help me to be a better husband today and speak with gentleness, you know, et cetera, things like that. So that's just a good way that we can study the Word is by journaling, writing a verse down. Okay, so we've got read, pick it up, we study, we look at it. Number three is memorize. So you have to take a bite. So this is the next step in knowing God's Word. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. In these words that I command you shall today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Every week my family memorizes a verse. And recently we've been trying to do verses to address character issues that we've been noticing. And we write it on the marker board, on the fridge. We talk about it when we're sitting down eating. Things that we make up. Another tip for this is to make up songs to go with it. One of them we did just recently was Proverbs 15:13. We've been having some problems with scowling in our house. Like someone gets hit and then they scowl at them like, whoa, what is this? Let's have a cheerful face. You guys don't have kids that scowl, do you? It's probably just our kids, right? Yeah. Anyway, pastor's kids are always the worst, right? Anyway, no. We are fighting against that actively, what do you call it? Reputation, whatever. Anyway, we're gonna break that by the Lord's help. But yeah, so we memorized Proverbs 15:13, and we took Edelweiss from Sound of Music. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. Proverbs 15:13, let's be joyful or cheerful forever. And then we sing that, and sometimes we'll at least get a half smile if they're like, you know. Like, okay, well, that's a little better. So that's what we do. Yeah, we write it on the board. We review it over meals. We talk about it. Okay, so that's how we memorize it. Music makes you memorize. Somebody tell me right now, what is the eighth letter of the alphabet? Who said that? How'd you figure that out? Did you just know, or was there something going on up here? Ah, okay. Here, let's try it again. Let's try it again. What's the 12th letter of the alphabet? Anybody know? How'd you know that?
I don't
You guys are ruining my analogy. The correct answer is, yes, I was singing the ABC song in my head. Anyway, I mean, that's how I would figure it out. Somebody's like, what's the 14th letter of the alphabet? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N. It's N. You know. Okay, so the point is, music helps us memorize. Music helps us memorize. If you can put verses to songs, you're gonna memorize them much, much easier. Psalm 119:11. Yeah, here we go. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So remember, just as Jesus, what did Jesus say to fight temptation? It is written, it is written, it is written. The more verses we have memorized, the more they will come to us in that moment of temptation, and we will be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or you're tempted to be anxious, worrying about things. No, Paul, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Yep, okay, Jesus, rule in my... Okay, so I do that. I pull these scriptures out that are in my heart, okay, that I've taken time to memorize. Malachi 4:4, remember the law. Remember it. Don't just read it. Don't just study it. Remember it. Okay, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Okay, so once you read the word, you pick it up, you study it, look at it, memorize it, take a bite. Then you have to meditate. Remember, which of the five steps took the longest when I was eating the bread? It was this one. It takes time to chew on the word of God. We need to be thinking about it on our beds, when we fall asleep, when we wake up, during our prayer times, when we're running, when we're driving. You meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it. This is part of the daily office that we talked about. You sit still before the Lord. You can meditate on scripture. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And if we look at this verse, sadly, I think for some of us the truth would be his delight is in Facebook. His delight is in YouTube. And on it he meditates. His delight is in the Vikings. Well, not anymore because they choked again yesterday. So sorry, Vikings fans. I watched a little bit of that game and I was just like, yep, typical Vikings in the playoffs. Oh, so sad for them. Anyway. The Bison came through, though. That was kind of, yeah, you were there, right? She was just down in Frisco yesterday. Good heavens. And here she is at church. That's dedication, folks. Yeah. Thanks for being here, Leah. So, yeah, go Bison. That was a good game. Anyway, so there's lots of other things that, if we were honest, that we would plug in there, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's what we should be thinking about. That's what we should be talking about, is God's word. Oh, how I love your law, Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. We think about it. We talk about it. And then lastly, after you chew and meditate, you have to swallow. You have to swallow it. You have to obey. Okay? It's pointless to do all these things if you don't obey it. John 13:17. These are words from our Lord Jesus Christ. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you do them, you need to do it. John 14:15, if you love me, how many people love Jesus here this morning? Can I get a show of hands? Oh, man, we're in trouble. Wait, who loves Jesus? I love Jesus. Well, it's easy for you. You're the pastor. Yeah. Okay, you're supposed to love Jesus. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments if we love Jesus. James 1:22, another convicting one. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When we come to church, we hear the word, when we read our Bibles, we do these things, but then we're not doing it, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We need to live it out. We need to let it become a part. So just as you guys watched before your very eyes, right? You watched me take the bread, look at it, bite it, chew it, and swallow it. Where is that bread now? It's in my digestive tract, and it is now becoming a part of who I am. Like, you've heard the phrase, you are what you eat, right? It's true. Okay? And that it's just as true physically as it is spiritually. You are what you eat. If you spend all of your free time scrolling through Facebook and looking at YouTube videos, that's who you are spiritually, okay? But if you spend your time reading God's word, thinking about it, there's great teachings, devotions we can read as well, you know, listening to podcasts, getting God's word in us, God's word, then that's who you are spiritually. Okay, and we need to do it. We need to obey it. Some other good references, these aren't on the screen, but I can't believe I missed them. I was looking through my notes this morning, but Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing bone and soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. It's so good. Another one, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Okay, God's word is so good. It's our daily bread. It's a sword. We can rely on it. We can trust it. So I'm going to close with this. And if you're interested, I'm not going to force anybody to do anything, but if you're sitting here and you're just overwhelmed, you're thinking, yes, Pastor, I know this is all good, things like that. I just don't know where to start. I'm too busy, blah, blah, blah. We could keep making excuses. Well, I'm going to give you a chance right now. If you want to make a plan to just follow along and do this with me right now. So feel free, if you want, you can pull your cell phone out. Some of you sitting here, I know already have like great Bible reading plans. You're getting in the Word of God every day. Great. If you don't, here's just one example of an easy thing that you can do where you'll get a daily prompting to read God's Word. Okay. So you can go to gccweb.org. If you want to do that right now, go ahead and do it. So gccweb.org. That's our church affiliation homepage, and then you go to the resources tab and click on email sign up. Okay, so you do that, and then step three, under GCC daily devotional should be the very first one. You know, after you click on email sign up, you click on sign up now, and the only thing that you get by giving them your name and email, they send you an email every day. That's it. So under request type, so you'll have to fill in this part, there's a request type, asterisk, select GCC daily devotional sign up. And then you just enter your personal information, click submit. And then every day in your phone, you will get a little message that looks like this. So today's was GCC daily devotional, a day in the life. Okay? And this one was by Tom Dunham from Cottonwood Community Church. So there's a little devotional that somebody writes, takes about 2 or 3 minutes to read. And then at the very bottom, so here's step five, enjoy the GCC daily devotional in your email every day and read the one-year Bible reading at the bottom in a way that works for you. Okay, so at the bottom is the one-year Bible reading. So it's got every single day you'll have a scripture reference from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And it does go chronologically, so like right now in Genesis, or right now in January, you're reading Genesis, first book of the Old Testament, you're reading Matthew, first book of the New Testament, and then today, we're on Psalm 10, so you're going through Psalms chronologically, and then you're going through Proverbs chronologically. If you do that daily reading every day, it takes about 15 minutes for an average person, you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. I did it many, many times. Now for me, what's worked for me well is I alternate the Old Testament and New Testament every year. So last year, I was doing the daily reading for the Old Testament, but I wouldn't do the New Testament, and then I'd read the Psalm of the day. And then we read the Proverbs of the day every day with our family, so that's covered for me. I go through the book of Proverbs 12 times a year with our family. Okay, so this year I'm doing the New Testament reading, so that's the second one under the 1 year Bible plan. So I read the New Testament and then I read the Psalm of the day. And it's a little bit shorter, but it gives me more time to think about it, to study it, to let it sink in. So I would just encourage you, so that's an easy thing where every day, you're gonna get an email. Usually, I think they send it by like 5 a.m. And then like, oh, there's the reading for today. The trick is not to try to catch up. So if you miss one day, 2 days, 3 days, you're like, oh, man, I better go back and read those 3 days. Well, that's like the same thing as like, yeah, hon, I didn't eat lunch the last 3 days, so I'm going to eat 4 lunches today. It's just hard. So grant yourself grace. If you miss a couple days, no big deal. Just pick up on today and read today. So that would be my practical encouragement to each of you. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, here's an easy, and there's loads. I mean, you could Google Bible reading plans. You'll probably come up with thousands of suggestions. There's lots of ways today that we can easily get the Bible in us. We'll close with this. Sorry, I'm going long, and then we'll partake in communion. So last quote here. If you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not. Adrian Rogers. If you have a Bible that's falling apart, you'll have a life that's not. So the big idea, once again, from today, eat your bread daily. That's the big idea. And we're going to take some time to actually do that right now, as Jesus commanded us. He said, do this in remembrance of me, to partake in the Lord's Supper. So if you are in Christ today, if you've made Jesus your Savior, we would welcome you to join us in partaking in the Lord's Supper today and just remembering the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And then even more applicably today, remembering Jesus is our daily bread. I need to be spending time with him every day, remembering him every day. So you can think about that as well as we're partaking in the bread and the fruit of the vine. So I'll excuse you by rows, and then we'll sing one last quick song here. If for any reason you need to remain seated, that's fine too. Just make room for others to walk by and join the line over there, and we'll go through this way, and then you can go back to your seat. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that you give to us, that we can have the great privilege of reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it, and obeying it. Lord, we have such a great privilege in this country. We've got so many different versions of the Bible to choose from. There's some groups of people in the world today that have never had the Bible written in their language. And here we are, some of us have multiple copies of the Bible. Are we reading it? Are we making it our daily bread? Lord, I pray that we would spend time with you, that we would eat our bread daily. And Lord, we thank you as we partake in the Lord's Supper here. We thank you for the great sacrifice that you made for us to redeem us, to make a way for us to be with the Father in heaven, to restore that relationship, Lord. I pray we wouldn't squander that relationship with you, Lord, that relationship with the Father, that we would enjoy you every day, remember the great price that was paid, and that we would be continually, daily, eternally grateful for that by sitting at your feet, by acknowledging you. We thank you, Jesus, for your great sacrifice that you made for us. In Jesus' name, amen.